This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. I love this enthusiasm. Each week we talk to artists in our Bronx studios or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the new songs that you love and learn about the artist and band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with the New Pornographers.
Thanks for coming out. So, Catherine and I were coming here. We were just going to do it as a duo. But then I decided to bring in a couple of my ringer friends here in New York. So I got friend Lila Larson on multiple duties over there. And my friend Adam Minkoff on multiple duties over here as well. So I'm glad we could be a rock band, because it would be embarrassing to be a folk duo at the bitter end, right? That would suck. Ready? Song's called Votive. Hands are cupped around the match. I'm just trying to keep the lights on. Though a lighthouse should not be in leak. With the rocks, though at some point it's on uncharted waters. Lights on. The songs become, we just started playing these songs, and every time we play them, they become slightly more real. It's like something out of Peter Pan.
It just got real.
It just got super real.
It just got real over here. Mm-hmm. The New Pornographers live from the Bitter End. Congratulations on this new record, guys. It is so good. It's your 10th full-length record, the former site of, and we just heard two songs from it. And actually, we're going to hear about half of the record tonight, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Right?
Arguably more than half.
Oh.
If you measure it in minutes, I think.
Ah, I see. Okay, fair enough. So we just got Pure Sticker Shock from... not the price of your album, but from not very reasonably priced.
The price of our album, which is essentially zero for most people. Yeah.
Oh, buy the record, folks. Buy the record. Pure Sticker Shock, a beautiful, upbeat pop song about crushing self-doubt. That's how I like it delivered, by the way. It's the only way I can take it.
There's got to be. I think there's some hope in there.
Oh, yes, of course.
Wait, let me go through the lyrics again.
Oh, boy.
No, I think it's kind of hopeful.
Okay, yes. Maybe that was a little too self-reflective.
Look, it says, you know.
What?
It's like in Pure Sticker Shock at the price on my head, thought I'd get more for it.
I mean, to me, that's...
like, I think that's kind of hopeful.
Okay, well, I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, because I've accepted the
right.
I've accepted the fact that there's a price on my head, and now I'm just trying to get a good price for it, you know?
You'll take whatever you got at this point. Fair.
I think it's applicable. I think it's applicable to 2026.
I like that. And we also got Votive, which I quite enjoy. And as a public radio host who's always fundraising, I actually use that line just trying to keep the lights on all the time when we're fundraising, because that's really what we're trying to do as a public radio station. We're trying to keep the lights on and the record spinning, like this new one from the New Pornographers. And the new songs are very narrative, and you have mentioned that you wanted them lyrically to be quite direct, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, yeah. I mean, I've never been super concerned about writing songs that were narrative. I mean, because... I always love songs like, you know, like Blank Frank by Eno. It's like, who's Blank Frank? It doesn't matter. Right. You know, it's cool. Or like, what the hell is Jet about? You know, Paul McCartney. It's just cool. You know, it's like, Ah Meta. What does that mean? I don't care. It's cool. You know, so I think I felt that way for like a long time. The idea of the band, I think for me, it was just kind of, like, fun rock and roll. You know, like, I wanted it to be smart, I wanted it to be intelligent, but I also kind of wanted it to be, like, a party band at the same time. So I was never super concerned about being, like, you know, Dylan or Springsteen or anything. But on this one, I'm full-on Dylan.
Dylan. Well, you are at the bitter
end, too. No, actually, that's not true, I think. For me, it was a new thing trying to write narrative songs. I know everybody does it, but... for me, it was new, so it was fun. Like, I actually did research on songs, you know, just to make sure I got the details right. If I'm gonna write about something, like, you know, and sometimes you just need like 8 words, you know. Like, I just wanna make sure if I'm like gonna put a detail in here, the detail is correct.
There's some great details in these songs, but can you talk a little bit more about the research that you did for writing short story songs?
I'll try to tell this as quickly as possible, but the main song, the title track, the former site of, was inspired by, I live in upstate New York, and there are all these reservoirs there, and the nearest reservoir to me has a sign that says, the former site of West Hurley. And I thought, like, what happened to West Hurley? And then I looked it up, and the history was, in around 1905, New York City needed water, so they went to all these little towns upstate and said, we're going to fill your town with water, and it's going to become our reservoir, and we'll buy your land, but even if you don't sell it, we're going to take it. And so they, you know, some buildings got razed, but a lot of them got just, like, put on wheels and carted away, which is like a line in the song. It hasn't come out yet, but we're going to play it tonight. And I had this idea about, I think I was reading a little history book about it, and there was a church. There's a picture of the church, and I think I somehow got the idea of I was going to write about a preacher in this town who decides he's not leaving. He's like, leave the church, and I'm just going to hang out here. And in the song, the preacher is just sitting on the roof of the church because the water's coming up, and he basically dies in the song. So it's, he's gone to heaven, so what?
It's okay, he
he's getting his internal reward. What? It's a happy song.
I love your perspective.
Yeah. But the weird part about that was we just did a show at WDST in Woodstock, which is a radio station. And it's in a radio station in a converted church. And I realized 15 minutes before we started playing that it was the actual church that I saw in the book. And it was carted away and brought to Woodstock. And that I ended up playing inside the church that I kind of wrote the song about, which I thought was a bizarro cosmic confluence.
That's full circle. I love
that. Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't even know what to do with that.
It was like
the Ouroboros, like the snake eating its own tail. It's like, what? I'm in the church that this song is about.
Wow, that is incredible. I'm sure it was a great performance.
But I remember reading these books that I didn't even, they weren't that good, because there's not much history written about that place. Although somebody just wrote, Lucy Sante just wrote a book a couple years ago called Nine Reservoirs. There's something about that, but it's about that history. But it came too late. I'd already written the book, so it was like too little too late, Sante. But I remember there were little details like, they had plank roads, and I thought, okay, I'm going to write about plank roads. And, like, what kind of businesses were there? There were liveries, there were derricks. And I thought, okay, I'll throw this in. And then I forget about it. Like, you forget you even did it. And then I'm singing the song, you know, basically relearning my song, like, learning my own lyrics. And I'm like, what is this? What is this stuff about derricks and plank roads? And I realize, oh, right, it's true. It's all real history, because I actually did my homework on it.
You definitely did your homework on it. And there's another song on this record that you're going to play that touches on a NASA satellite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're a real Renaissance man.
I don't think that's what you call Renaissance man.
Well, I mean, you're a learned man. You're a learned man on many different topics.
No, not really.
He's so humble.
No, I think that song illustrates how much you can fake it. I think it illustrates, like, I think songwriters, a lot of the greatest songwriters, kind of con men. You know, like there's a lot of like P.T. Barnum. Like think of, like, I mean, obviously I love Bob Dylan, but all those songs from, you know, that era, that 2-year era in the 60s where he was singing about, like, the jugglers and the clowns and, you know, there's, like, all this weird imagery that, they're like, you know, and everybody gives them biblical weight, you know, because who is the juggler, you know? And it's like, I was reading in the, you know, Sanskrit about the juggler, and you realize it was just, you know, kind of, he was throwing words around, and, you know, and I love people who can do that.
You got to make your own lore.
Yeah. So I think I was just trying to seem just smart enough, you know, but it is true. Again, when I was learning my own song, and the song we're going to play called Spooky Action, it's about this satellite called the Cassini-Huygens that was circling Saturn for like 13 years. And then at some point they decided it had to just immolate itself and fly into the planet. And so the idea of my song was like what this satellite sees right before it flies around. So I thought, okay, what would the satellite see? And so I had no idea, so I started reading about it. And it's like, well, it would see the Arc of Daphnis, obviously, and it would see Keeler's Edge, and it would see the lone propeller, and, like, you know, of course the lone propeller is made from moonlets, you know, and it was just stuff like that. And I was reading it, and I was like, what is this gibberish? And then I started reading about it. I did a Wikipedia search of the Cassini-Huygens, and I'm like, oh, it's all true. Everything I put in the song is true. I just forgot. because I just learned as much as, like, I'm very much like, learn as much as you need to learn and no more. That, which is why I've never become like a good truly good guitar player. Because it's like, if I know somebody who can play the guitar solo, why would I learn to play a guitar solo, you know? Like, I don't feel the need to do it. So just learn as much as I can.
Well, I hear you on that because I want to talk briefly about the mandolin, which yeah. I know that you've brought out of kind of dusty retirement. You've had a mandolin
Your own.
To make the record, I mean.
Yeah.
Right? So you were thinking to yourself, I feel so bad for the mandolin. The mandolin gets really typecast. It only can be used on certain kinds of songs.
Well, I mean, I say that now. Are you taking it back? Well, no. I mean, the story of why I used it was that I saw it leaning against a wall in my studio, and I thought, what if I tried playing that thing? Right. And I had no ideas. I just started playing, and I was like, wait, this works. But then I started thinking about, you know, afterwards, I was like, why does nobody play the mandolin like this? My initial idea was just to like play it kind of like a punk rock instrument because it has kind of a cool sound, and you know it doesn't all have to be like bluegrass.
And you've got Lila playing it tonight,
yes.
instead
yeah,
of you.
And she was saying when I asked her if she played a mandolin, she said, "Well, yeah, but I don't have bluegrass chops." And I said, "Good." That's exactly what I need, but. I mean, not to pick on bluegrass, but I think this is a legit point I'm making. I love like country and bluegrass and Americana music, and like I love it so much that it bugs me when people play mediocre country, bluegrass, and Americana music. It almost fills me with anger. It's like you disrespect the genre.
Wow. So you better be excellent at it or just play in a completely different way.
Exactly.
I love it.
You better be like dropping like Levon Helm levels of Americana if you're going to play Americana. That's my take.
Fair.
But I don't feel that way about other genres. I don't feel that way about any genre I play.
Oh, okay.
And all my genres, just fair game. You can be as bad as you want.
Right. Just get up there and do your best.
That's why I chose a genre I do not care about.
Oh, stop it. He is going to play along with the rest of the band a couple more songs from the new record. And do you want to intro the next song that you're about to do and tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah. I already talked about it. It's called Spooky Action.
Oh, right. Yes.
Which was a...
Go astrophysics on us.
Is that astrophysics?
Oh, it's quantum mechanics.
Yes. Well, it's actually about quantum entanglement, something I know nothing about. Nothing. I think I was reading something about... Albert Einstein was talking about quantum entanglement, and he called it spooky action at a distance. And I think I like the idea of the idea of quantum entanglement is like two things that have like connected together will never be apart. You know, like they could be billions of years apart, and so which I thought was kind of an interesting idea. You know, that brings in the idea of something like heaven, like. You know, anybody you're connected with, you know, they're somewhere, and they're always a part of you, and like what is the line? It's a good thing I got all the lyrics in front of me. Where's the line? Like a series of nail biting dives, and I'm done. I'm on the cloud. I thought, you know, the idea of like this satellite immolating itself into a planet, but it's on the cloud and that all the information that was on it is just going onto the cloud, but maybe it's on the cloud also because it's going to heaven. And it's kind of makes sense, but I couldn't really talk for very long about it.
All right. Well, let's not talk anymore about it. And let's just play the song.
Yes,
how about that?
Exactly.
All right. The new Pornographers live from the Bitter End on WFUV.
And Adam's going to do some impressive... one-man rhythm section stuff. Just like that other guy. We good? 1, 2, 3, 4.
this in front of any crowd. They will be on their knees or their feet, a rolling count scattered the moons, and I am in its stead, in its keep. A spooky action, a close-up magic, a Russian push, the thermal noise of the evening. Have you seen it though? The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen. As I close up here, wish me well. 13 years on a dead man's ship. I will not live to tell the tale, but I hope the shot was worth it. A spooky action, a close-up magic, a Russian push, the thermal noise of the evening. Have you seen it though? The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen. Filling my boots with stardust, filling my pockets up with rock. Follow the breath of empire, rise and fall. Filling my boots with stardust, filling my pockets up with rock. Follow the breath of empire, rise and fall. A series of nail-biting dives, and I am done. I'm on the cloud, looking for endings in the mirrors. The darling buds of come what may. The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen. Filling my boots with stardust, filling my pockets up with rock. Follow the breath of empire, rise and fall. Filling my boots with stardust, filling my pockets up with rock. Follow the breath of empire, rise and fall. And I see the lone propeller, labor of moon. One last turn to take in Titan, the famous giant, the burning god. Oh, have you seen the stray arc of darkness, the keeler's edge? The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen. The way that it's meant to be seen.
Thank you. This one is about the last payphone in New York City. I did not know the last payphone. I'd be lying if I said I did.
Nope. Hold on. Click it sticks. Okay, click it sticks. All right.
the museum of the city of New York. It had the offhand grace that you will find in the last ones left alive. Well, they took it from Times Square in May with little fanfare or paid respect. Yeah, first comes love, then comes pity, then it's terminal velocity. Nothing major, man, it's just the last made phone. Nothing major, man, it's just the last made phone. From the just left behind, reverse the charges. I tried, but it had no lightning inside. Did you get a good look at their face? 'Cause often thieves have not gone very far, and they're not strangers, they rarely are. They're not strangers, they rarely are. Nothing major, man, it's just the last payphone. Nothing major, man, it's just the last payphone. Nothing major, man, it's just the last. Love, then comes pity, then it's terminal velocity. Yeah, first comes love, then comes pity, then it's terminal velocity.
Ballad of the Last Payphone.
Yeah.
We should all spill a little drink out for the last payphone. Mm-hmm. That does make me feel quite sad that there are no more payphones in New York City. Actually, fun fact, you can go visit that payphone. It lives...
I'm not just making stuff up.
No, he's right. He does his research, and it really
but
is true.
But I didn't go visit it, though.
Okay, but you can.
Yeah.
Yes, it's at the Museum of the City of New York.
Apparently.
Yes.
According to my research, yes.
You are well-researched and well-read, my friend.
I'm not particularly well-read.
Okay, that song, I'm also well-read. I read that you were influenced by a Raymond Carver short story.
Yes, but it was one that my ex-girlfriend made me read.
And it was only 3 pages long, so.
And it's the only Raymond Carver story. Maybe I've read more, but I don't recall.
But even though she made you read it, she didn't make you write a song about it.
I remember thinking, like, oh, this is. I can see why you're teaching this in your class. I remember thinking, this is it's a story called Fat by Raymond Carver. And yeah, I don't even remember what it was about. It's only about 4 or 5 pages long. You should read it.
It's pretty good.
In fact, we'll just take a 10-minute break, and you guys can all read Fat by Raymond Carver. Then
we can
have a really involved discussion about it. But I think it's about a waitress who's telling her boyfriend at home how she saw this really overweight man in the restaurant today, and like she can't communicate like what what affected her. And so I thought the idea was that there's a guy who goes to visit the last payphone and he can't figure out why he is so affected by the idea of the last payphone. But to me, it seems like glaringly obvious. Right. Like, what is it? There's a line like, had to see it with my very eyes for some advice from the just left behind. Which I thought really is really kind of like a punch in the face with a message. In case anybody can't figure out what I'm getting at.
So, musically speaking, is this the trickier part for you? I mean, I think you were writing lyrically, you know, trying to be direct, trying to, you know, punch people in the face with your messages. But I think that the way that you arrange is very interesting. And I understand also that when you were putting this record together, you just did it on your own for a while because you didn't want to bother your bandmates with making all these changes all the time. And you said that was really helpful to just kind of sequester yourself away in your own studio, get the rough sketches, and then share.
Well, because I really believe in the idea of, like, kill your darlings. Like sometimes I'll be working on there'll be a song I'll have worked on for weeks, and one day I'm just like, it sucks. Like, it's not working, and I'll just, like, tear it apart, and I'll go, only the bass line works. You know, and I'll ditch everything. It's like, I don't like the melody line. Like, I don't like the lyrics. And I'll just change it until I feel like I like it. But try doing that with a room full of people. You know, like we've been rehearsing for a week, and I just come in. And then you feel like a crazy kind of like Brian Wilson type figure. Like, yeah, everything, I'm sorry, man, everything we've done, I'm scrapping it.
Catherine, you know,
I don't like any of it.
Do you want to talk to changes in songs? And have you ever really been annoyed at him for changing it up? I bet she hasn't.
Catherine. Process.
Yeah.
But she's weirdly good natured. I mean.
But can you talk a little bit about, Catherine, can you talk a little bit about, come back here, about working with the songs in these kind of rough sketches when he finally brings it to you and, you know, the changes that they go through?
Well, I mean, I've learned so much about songwriting from being in a room or not with Carl over the years. And I find I'm just as like, I'm going to do this part and I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm going to work as hard as I can on it. I'm going to send it off. Maybe it'll get used. Maybe it won't. But if it doesn't, I almost barely remember what I did because I know that you just have to have this kind of, what is it? You have to kind of have a letting go kind of feeling with it. You do it and you just go, I don't know. Like, I don't know. if I'm going to see it later, if I'm going to remember that I did it, right. I don't know.
Well, that's why you always press record.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. And that's something else I learned too from recording is always press record. Always do it. I always do it, and I don't care if it's a practice, because there's going to be maybe something in there that like has some kind of spark that you want to keep. So just always press it.
You don't know what's going to be good.
You don't know.
And so, have you guys revisited the tapes and pulled out things that, in the moment, you didn't think worked, but realized, oh wow, there's something there.
Yeah, I think. You know, one thing I think is important for me, at least, is like sometimes you're working and you lose the plot completely. Like sometimes like the song just goes off in a tangent and you're like, and I think it's good to like, maybe you're thinking the song is going well, but then you go, let's listen to what it sounded like a month ago. And then you go back and it's like, I had it a month ago. Yeah. You know, like, I was screwing around with it and I already had it. And so I think it's good to like, just try and find that balance of like, just trying to have perspective, which I think comes from just being like a kind of brutal editor. And knowing that there is a solution. You know, like sometimes I'm working on a song and I think maybe the song should not exist. Maybe I'm struggling with it because it just should not be. But then I realize, no, there is an answer. And I think another mistake that I'm really terrible with, and I tried to correct it, was thinking you can fix a song by just adding more stuff. You know, like, it has 30 tracks. Well, maybe it needs 50 tracks. But then you realize, like, no, you probably, the answer was probably in those first, whatever, 20 tracks or 10 tracks you recorded, and you just have to look inside and find it and just be a little more brutal and cut. And also the same thing with lyrics. It's like cutting it down and going, what's necessary? Like, I've been thinking a lot about that, the idea of Chekhov's gun. You know, it's like a narrative principle. Like, if Chekhov said, like, if you're going to show a gun in your script or in your play, you better fire it at some point. You know, which I think was his way of, like, every, like, detail should have a purpose. You know, so I think I try to look at it that way, and sometimes, like, I'll just come to a line and go, like, why are you there? You know, I'll just cut an entire, like, half of a verse, because maybe I just put it in there because I thought it sounded cute, or maybe it had a good turn of phrase in it, and it was like, nope, you're gone. And then realizing that all those, you know, all those parts that you cut out, they don't necessarily have to be gone. You know, like, maybe they can be their own song. You know, like, maybe some line that does not work. Like, yeah, there was a line I cut. There's a line I cut from one of these songs that I was thinking about recently. I wish I could remember what it was. This is only interesting to me.
No, it's interesting to us too, because we'll rewind the tape and be like, that's the song he was talking about.
Like, I remember I had a line, there was a line in one of the songs from this album that was about, now I remember what song it was. There was a line about, I think I was talking just about social media, and I said something about more revelations from the nosebleed section. And I thought, oh, that's good, more revelations from the nosebleed section. But then I was like, eventually it doesn't fit. But now I'm thinking, well, maybe that could be its own song. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You could do something with that.
Yeah.
You could use it.
Yeah. And like, I'm really enjoying that part about writing songs these days. Just the play element. You know, like the play element of creativity. Like, just see what happens.
For the joy of it, yeah.
Yeah. I've realized over the last like year that I'm just very lucky that I get to do that. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not like I'm retired or anything, but, you know, it's like I don't have to worry about, you know, are we going to be put out of our house? You know, are we going to lose our house? It's like, okay, we can, you know, I can spend a few months just like writing songs, and that's okay, you know.
There's an element of talent there also. It's not just luck. There is some talent. You won't say it, but I mean,
it all, yeah, but it all kind of, you know, it all
evens
kind of interacts.
Out?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's lots of talented people, you know, you just have to have, just have to be able to do it, mm-hmm. You know, like there.
I want to talk a little bit about the voices in your head. And what I mean by that is when you're coming up with music, you have these harmonies, I think, in your head vocally. Now, how do you sort that out and kind of say, all right, can you sing this in this way? Or like, you know, can you talk a little bit
I have thousands and thousands of voice notes, which I just have to sift through.
But I mean, as it relates to like the other people who sing with you, like Catherine and Nico.
I don't know. I mean, I know I have on this record, I know in particular with Catherine, I was like trying to like,
Write
parts that I thought were really kind of in Catherine's power alley. Part of that was, that made it easier, was because one thing that's happened over the last few years is I'm not very precious about melody. I'll write a melody and think it's good, but if it doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth, I change it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing if I feel like, you know, if she's singing a part and it doesn't, I feel it doesn't feel right, it's like, well, let's change it until it feels like absolutely, absolutely smooth.
Do you want to speak to that, Catherine?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just very good at knowing what my range is. It's very impressive.
Nice.
I mean, I guess it's not that hard when you've been in a band with somebody for 20 years to know it's about this to this.
But that's kind of new. I mean, I think people used to ask me, how do you write for those other voices? And I say, I don't. You know, I just give them the songs and go sing it. You know? And it's like, you can't sing it? We'll figure it out. You know, and it, actually, if you listen to our songs, through the years, there are a lot of songs that have, three people singing. And that was not me going, arranging it, okay, you're going to sing, and then you're going to sing. It was basically okay, well, this melody goes from this high down to this low, so I'll sing the low stuff, and you sing the high stuff. It was that simple, you know? Songs weren't even never meant to be duets or, two vocals. It was just, how are we going to do this? And it's like, okay, we need three singers to do this. But it's different now.
You also do have a harmony brain, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You sit there and you're like, can you sing this? Is it maybe like this?
I think that's the only thing I have truly natural ability for, is like that kind of stuff. Because I find it's the part that I find very easy. You know, but the other things, music, I look at Lila and Adam and I'm in awe of the way they play, you know? It's you can play four or five different instruments. I didn't even know he drummed. I didn't even know he drums, and he drums in Graham Nash's band. What are you going to do?
All right, so we are going to get one more song from the New Pornographers live from the Bitter End.
Thank you.
And congratulations again on this new record.
It was nice talking to you.
It's so fun to talk to you
guys. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Yes. The New Pornographers live on WFUV.
This is one song, but it's arguably the length of two songs, so let's call it two. When it starts getting loud, let's call that the second song. How about that? It's called The Former Sight Of. It's the one about the church.
Oh, our land, it is sinking. But the country, it is rising. Either betting
on us floating.
Or they're counting on us dying. They say leave you madman. Try to talk, talk sense to me. But maybe he will
part the waters
like he did back with the Red Sea. So goodbye, all you plank roads,
all you liveries,
mills and derricks. Just a steeple.
Bell for company.
House is long gone. Caught it off on wheels. Here on the roof of a church. So goes all of your good work. You're not too far off, my friend, to say I'm off the deep end. I am famous
in the city
as a fool on his last sand. Some call to me as they row past, slowly silent. I raise my glass. Thank you. left my collar and my congregation. Not a sailor, not a shepherd, just a lighthouse in rough weather. Here on the roof of a church, so goes all of your good work. You're not too far off, my friend, to say I'm off the deep end. The rooftop, they clip out of sight, silent, gone. Was I a good captain as the vessel went down? I ask at the gate as the trumpets all sound. Was I a good captain as the vessel went down? This great ship of Zion breaks room for the next. What we lost on the ground, the sky will protect. Soon unbroken surface will make a secret as a great goose of water closes round the neck. And an old woman's wave from the deck of a ship says hello or come help, it is hard to tell. And the man's hypnotized by the flowers of prayer. He finds his own way to talk to the dead. And a boy mad with love said the earth is not round. He would say anything to not be alone. And the wine recalls when it was water and neck. A flame tries to cling to the life it has left. All of them shadows, all of them shadows that reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows that reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows that reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows, they reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows, all of them shadows, they reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows, they reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows, they reminded me of mine. All of them shadows, all of them shadows, they reminded me of mine.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. We're playing here next month at Webster Hall. There'll be slightly more of us. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming.
That was the New Pornographers performing and in conversation at the Bitter End in New York City for WFUV. A big thank you to the band for joining WFUV at the Bitter End, and thank you to Merge Records. Thanks to the Bitter End for recording, and to our technical director of live music, Jim O'Hara, for mixing and mastering the music you heard on this episode. Our FUV live studio in-studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Kate Russo. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Russ Boris books all of our artists. Our theme music, whoop, let's hear it for Russ. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. And you can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. Most importantly, thank you so much to our live audience. Please give yourselves a round of applause. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Elise Ali. Thank you so much.